setting the context, globally speaking, UN estimates we need around $340 billion committed every year to support some of the least developed economies and countries in their adaptation needs. And that's across, you know, a range of aspects, you know, infrastructure, urban planning and housing developments, safe water access, other types of infrastructure. In Africa, that amount, from what I've read, is somewhere around $120 billion a year needed annually, beginning now, essentially, to help countries to adapt to climate change. And again, as it has been repeatedly noted, I think, you know, in previous COPs, as well as certainly in this climate summit, in this climate week, is that those countries least responsible for emissions are bearing the brunt, you know, of the impact of it. And so I think there is a moral obligation, really, of the global north and historical emitters to find ways to drive financing towards these countries that really do need to shift their systems, their economies, you know, the livelihoods of individuals to adapt to climate change over the coming decades. But beyond that, the perspective I think we also take at Mercy Corps, and then, you know, the impact fund within Mercy Corps that I help to manage with our team, is that these contexts are also just wellsprings of innovation, and we have an opportunity to really look at locally devised solutions to climate adaptation that are coming out of, you know, markets across Africa, all these change makers and leaders and really innovative thinkers who are coming up with technologies, business models, and other types of solutions that can help their households, farms, or communities and other stakeholders to adapt to climate change.
Do you think African countries, African governments, what should be their role?
Well, you know, I think that there's really, I mean, overall, I'll speak to the governments in a second, but there have to be really, I think, three P's to drive finance. You know, the first is policy. If we want to move real money towards this opportunity to create impact, we really have to have policies that the governments really lead on that create clarity around, say, the carbon markets. You know, how will it be taxed? What's allowable? What's not? How do we create more transparency and trust? And so I think that type of policy is really critical. There's always the ever-going, you know, considerations for governments in terms of what policy do they want with regards to energy. So we see certain governments in sub-Saharan Africa who are really leaning hard into renewable energy. You know, Kenya, for instance, gets the majority of its power from renewable sources, whether that's geothermal, wind, or other types of sources, whereas you have other governments that are leaning more on fossil fuels. And so I do think governments have a real big lever to pull, as I always do on policy. Like, what are they going to try to incentivize? Are they going to try to really create local carbon markets? Are they going to create more clarity on the carbon markets so that a country can essentially export that carbon, if you will? So that policy is a big one. I think the second P is the kind of proof, and this is for the community, and the government plays a role in this. So how do we really create a business case for adaptation? You know, beyond just it being the right thing to do, having a moral obligation to do so, how do we look at really the economic model for investments in different types of green infrastructure, at using the carbon markets to conserve standing forest or to incentivize agriculture to be net zero or reduce pollutants in the ground and so forth? I think governments and then other types of entrepreneurs and incubators, accelerators, policymakers, researchers have an opportunity to not just say it's the right thing to do, but here's the economic model for doing so, and here's why it can be investable.